Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Mark Spector is joining us for the Horses and Horse Race in Alberta. They've got the Canadian Derby. It's the 93rd running. It's Western Canada's biggest day in racing. It's going to take place Saturday, August 20th at Century Mile. Tickets are available now. How is this, given the date and the context of the conversation, the anniversary 34 years ago, the Wayne Gretzky sale, that's what Glenn Sather called it. There's a horse entered in the Canadian Derby by the name of Slats. Thank you, Jeff Robillard, for passing along that information. I did not know that. There you have it. Without further ado, we re-engage Mr. Spector on the River Cree Resort Casino hotline, 780-496-0063, the River Cree Resort Casino. Excitement, bet on it. What are the chances of that, eh? Slats is the name of the horse.
Well, you know what? Slats is pretty old. I don't know if I'd bet on that horse right now.
Might be pulling up in Lake Country these days. We'll have to wait and see. Spent so much time in Banff back in the day, Glenn Sather. All right, so, Spec, into the here and now. Ken Holland was on yesterday. The regular season starts on October the 12th. It is currently August the 9th. I know there's people out there, the Oilers must get their cap situation under control right now. Not so fast. We have 2 months. And even Ken said yesterday, a lot of the managers, they'll watch the World Juniors and then everything will get started up again after Labor Day. Should there be an expedited process for the Oilers to potentially look at alleviating their cap? That said, it should be stated that the Oilers could basically, he said McLeod's going to get done. The Oilers could run 12-6-2 and be under the cap, especially when factoring in the LTIR. Where's your headspace at it? Do they need to do something right away or can they take their time here?
Bob, it's August here. We've got lots of time. There's no deadline that says you have to be cap compliant by August 15th. So, no, there's. I would also say to you that there is, I think I read Maddie say there's 12 teams that are over the cap right now the other day.
Yep.
So Edmonton is nowhere close to being alone in this situation. And, you know, what I would say, Bob, Chikai, take it easy. Folks, enjoy your summer a little bit. Everybody just let the nervousness down and, you know, Ken Holland will get to it. The next season will start. They'll have it done by then. Go to the lake, go to the pool, go to the folk fest, you know, have a cold one. Take it easy out there.
Yeah, interesting. by the way, Spec, you brought up Phil Kessel. When I look at the Edmonton, and I like Phil Kessel, don't get me wrong. You can make an argument that way. I mean, right now I've got Hyman, Puljujärvi, Yamamoto, and Derek Ryan on the right side. And on left wing, I have Evander Kane, Ryan Nugent, Hopkins, Warren Fogle, and Matthias Janmark. And then at center, I've got McDavid, Draisaitl, McLeod, and then potentially Shore. So I'm just going to throw a name out there, a guy that I'm somewhat surprised has not signed anywhere yet. So what's happened here is the free agents have been squeezed. The sort of support players have been squeezed because there's 12 teams that are over the cap. Any thoughts on a guy like Johan Larson?
They loved him in Buffalo, right? Everyone there loved him. I don't know the player really well. I'm not going to come on here and tell you I watched him a ton. I guess my question I'd throw back to you, Bob, is, you don't think that Derek Ryan can be your 4C, eh? You don't think he's your 4-5
center? I think maybe, you know, like I just Larson's got a little bit more bite to him than
younger,
Derek Ryan. Probably
a little quicker.
A little quicker, younger. Larson's a 50% basically career face-off guy. Ryan's 56%. They could still play together, and Ryan would take the right shot draws. Larson's killed a lot of penalties. Probably played too much last year. I think he was around, he was almost 18 minutes a game in Arizona last year. I mean, when I look at, and here's where I'm going with this. You kind of got about, Ken Holland said yesterday, are we done? Well, we'll see. You know, is there a guy we can get, you know, 750, 850? If you're a player right now and you don't have a contract, like, do you think you're getting $1.5 or $2 million anywhere? Like, maybe you're just looking to hunt for the next year. You know what I'm saying, Spec?
Well, there's two sets of players out there. There's always going to be a guy who just wants the most money. I get that, right? That's fair. But there's also a lot of guys, and you know, Larson may be one, where he says, you know, this free agent season, we had a swing and a miss, right? If I'm not signed by now, Bob, I've had a swing and a miss here. I'm John Klingberg. And I said, okay, I got to just do a one-year deal. If I'm Johan Larson, I go, okay, it didn't go the way I wanted it to go. It didn't go the way I envisioned it going. So everybody, he could probably sign for 10 teams for a million or less at this point, because that's all anyone, all the good teams, all they have left for acquisitions are going to be $1 million, as Ken Holland said, $752 million. So now he's just picking where he wants to play for a year. That's all he's doing. He's going to look at the field. He's going to say, well, there's six teams that offer me a deal. Here's where I want to be. Does he want to be in Edmonton? You better ask the player that. I don't know the answer to that. But if he's looking to have a good season, if he's looking to maybe try to win something, he's not getting $3 million now, Bob, no matter where he wants.
No.
Edmonton at $1 million, why not?
Well, I mean, he signed a 2-year deal in Arizona spec, you know, and then got moved to Washington last year. So, I mean, I'll be interested to see what happens here, because to me, that might be the type of player, and people can jump aboard and text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line at 780-496-0063. Mark, I thought he had a deal. Like, I thought he had a deal on the 13th or the 14th of July. Something happened there. And
well, he's also moved around a lot, Bob. How come?
Yeah. Yeah.
This guy plays a lot of sort of one-and-dones here, and I'd want to know the answer to that before I sign the player.
Yeah. This text comes in from Ryan out of Stoney. He says, Bob, looking at some of the names like Yurko, Haas, et cetera, from the 18-19 Oilers. Actually, that was the 19-20 Oilers, so it wasn't the 18-19 Oilers. It was the 19-20 Oilers. It shows you how much Holland has helped build this team. The final step, in my opinion, is the Oilers playing like a top-8 team and forcing Holland to go all in at the trade deadline. And again, we talked about the fact that he's held on to his number ones. Mark, are the Oilers, do you think they're a top-8 team this season? They finished 11th last year in the regular. Now, it was a strange year because, you know, 8 teams in the Eastern Conference finished over 100 points. That's an odd, you know, there was a real separation between the haves and the have-nots in the East.
Yeah.
The Oilers had the second-best record in the Pacific Division, obviously. Calgary, you know what, like if Calgary gets Nazem Kadri, and I don't know if they're going to, I think most people think it's the Islanders or Colorado are going to end up getting Kadri. If they get Kadri, and I don't know how they can do that beyond this year in Calgary, but if they get Kadri, I guess they got Lucic and Monahan coming off the books there. If they got Kadri with Huberto and with Mackenzie Weegar, they're better than they were last year, as far as I'm concerned. If they don't get him, I don't know if they're, you know, I mean, Nazem Kadri's a hell of a player. Are the Oilers a top 8 team?
Well, I'd say the Oilers a better team than they were last year. You know, does Jack Campbell stabilize your goaltending? You know, Mike Smith was hurt so often. Are you a better team in goal? Because if you are, that's going to mean 5 or 6 or 7 points in the standings. Are you a deeper team up front? You know, you've got Kane from the start of the season now, right?
Yep.
You're going to have better depth among your forward lines. Are you a better team on defense? Well, you're going to have Kulak from the start of the season. Bouchard, I think, should be a better player this year than he was last year. You don't have Duncan Keith anymore.
Right.
And he was a stabilizing force back there for sure. Sometimes guys in the first year of their contract, I don't think Darnell Nurse is going to be, he's a veteran player, but you never know how he, sometimes guys try to play like they're a $9 million player. But I guess my point would be this, Bob. I think incrementally the Oilers are a little bit better at all positions. Not a ton, but incrementally. So that takes you from 11th somewhere better than that. So, you know, if you've been 12th, 11th, I think, why can't you get in the top 10 this year? 9th, 8th, 7th? It's going to depend on injuries. It's going to depend on, you know,
sure,
a whole bunch of things. But, yeah, I think if they were 11th last year and they're a better team this year, to me, they got to be a top 10 team.
Mark, did you think the Oilers were going to beat Calgary in a round 2 playoff series?
I think I picked them to win, did I?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, look, I broadcast
my picks, but
I feared and respected Calgary. Like they had a good team. Like they had a good team. The one thing that a lot of the listeners that made this, brought up often just before that series started was how healthy Calgary had been the entire year. Now they have a big, heavy, tough team, but they were healthy. Like even they got COVID all at once. and it didn't pluck off two or three different guys out of their team. You know what I mean? Like, they were, they got it all at once and missed a bunch of time, and nobody missed any games. And, like, I think their defense was basically together the entire year in Calgary.
I don't think they missed a man game in their top six defensemen until, like, the last 3 weeks of the season. Somebody got hit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're incredibly healthy all year long. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, you know, like, Daryl Sutter did a good job in the regular season. The top line played 87% of the time together. Like, could you imagine? Just, I'm going to throw this out there. I'm not saying Edmonton's going to do this. But if the Oilers played McDavid, Drysdale, and Kane together, like they did against the Calgary Flames, and they alternated, and Drysdale had to play on the wing because of the injury, and they flip-flopped Hyman and Kane a bit in that series against Calgary. But if they played McDavid, Drysdale, and Kane together 87% of the time.
Yeah.
Wait, could you have three? Like, Calgary had three guys score 40 goals last year on that line.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, they call it the best line in the NHL, the best five-on-five line in the National Hockey
League. That got absolutely blank and destroyed by McDavid and Drysdale in the playoffs. They got crushed. I think the Oilers outscored Calgary 13-4, 13-5 when McDavid and Drysdale were on the ice 5v5 in that series.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad.
No, well, and I think that's, so we all learn a little lesson there. You know, when you looked at that series, if you could kind of, you know, put the blinders on and think about how we were talking before that Battle of Alberta began, the first thing we said was Calgary has better goaltending. First thing we said, and nobody disputed that, Bob, right?
No.
No one across the world of hockey would have said, oh, no, Edmonton's is better. They weren't. Calgary's was better. Well, in that series, Edmonton got better goaltending. Edmonton's, you know, Smith had better numbers than Markstrom by a large margin. Markstrom wasn't very good, full stop. I know McDavid and Draisaitl are great, and they exploited him. He wasn't very good. That's all there was to it. So that was a complete surprise. And the other thing that happened that maybe we could have predicted, Bob, is Johnny Gaudreau went away when the going went tough. And I've been saying that about Johnny Gaudreau in Battles of Alberta for the last 5 or 6 years. When it gets a little snaky, Johnny Gaudreau always disappeared. We probably should have predicted that. I didn't think Matthew Tkachuk going away the way he did. But Matthew Tkachuk after game one was a rumor in that series. To me, that's a huge red flag. He's the guy that stirs the drink at the Battle of Alberta. He stopped stirring the drink, he threw the straw and ran like hell in that series. If I was Florida, I'd have watched a lot of film of that series before I gave Matthew Tkachuk the deal they gave him.
Courtesy of Dmitry Filipovich, McDavid had 11 primary points. Drysdale had 15 assists. The two of them outscored the Flames 13-4. In 73 minutes and 18 seconds of 5-on-5 minutes. 13-4 in 5-on-5 scoring. In five games, Mark!
Right.
Like, that's,
and the first one was a 9-6 circus, fire wagon hockey, like,
where your goalie
barely counts.
Yeah, where the where the goalie was giving up, was leaking some ugly goals, suffice to say.
The first one barely counts, you know.
Yeah. No, crazy. It's there's no question it's going to be fun. Quick hitter, the Edmonton Elks, Mark. They're struggling against the Western Conference. Okay,
struggling against everybody, Bob.
No,
Mark. Western Conference.
No, you're incorrect. They've beaten teams from the East, haven't they?
Well, how many wins they got this year?
Two. Let's bring in Brendan. He's working on the Elks broadcast. Give us what's the numbers again? Okay, two stats for you. What's their record against the losing streak against the West, and how many have since they've won at home?
It's been over 1,000 days since they won at home. It was October 12th of 2019. BC was here.
Okay.
They've lost 13 in a row, I believe, to the West Division. The two wins this year coming against Montreal and Hamilton.
All right. Speck, they play the Riders on Saturday. You're saying there's a chance, right?
Well, is there a chance? There's got to be at some point. You know, you and I were on the opposite side on the head coach when they hired him, right?
Chris Jones?
You liked the Chris Jones hiring. I didn't like the Chris Jones hiring. That's fine. So the one thing we agreed on in that hire, Bob, and I think everyone agreed on, we can talk about the character. We can have the major complaint I had is Chris Jones always hangs around for a year and leaves a high-end guy. And everybody said, oh, that won't happen, and we'll wait and see on that. I'm not claiming a victory here. Let's wait and see. But what we all agreed on was Chris Jones was a smart football guy with a ton of contacts, and he could build you a winner faster than everybody else could build you a winner. So that's his reputation, and I respect that that's his reputation. So it's time for Chris Jones to start living up to it, right? It's time for Chris Jones to put a team in the field that's not down 37-7 at halftime half the time. This is not a good team, Bob. They're not a competitive team most nights. And Chris Jones isn't getting the job done, full stop, right? This guy's supposed to live up to what he's supposed to live up to. He ain't even close, Bob.
Yeah, the thing that surprised me is the defense. Like, I mean, the fastest way to turn things around in football, because you got to develop quarterbacks, the fastest thing to turn around is defense and special teams. And they haven't been when they won the Grey Cup in 2015 under Chris Jones, they had playmakers. On offense, and obviously they had Mike Riley. Obviously, at that time they had Darrell Walker.
They had a better team, more
but,
work.
But he had guys on defense that were difference makers, that made plays, and it just I should almost defer to Brendan here because he's working on the broadcast. Brendan, what's going on with the defense? Is it just too many injuries, too much turnover? Why, you know, have they worn down, been on the field too much? What's going on here?
Well, I think the turnover is the biggest thing. They don't have a ton of playmakers out there. Guys like Aaron Grimes that were brought in to be playmakers haven't seen the field. But there's been such a rotation that they all look like they can't communicate with one another. There was a lot of holes to be exposed.
All right, there you go. Spec, one more for you. I know you're out at the lake driving back into town. We do have the World Junior Championship. There's three games today. Canada starts tomorrow against your favorite country, Latvia.
We'll be jumping the fire, Bob, if that one goes Latvia's way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's... It's a summer tournament. Several of the players from Team Canada that were part of things in December obviously have opted out they're not playing in this tournament. Now, Connor Bedard's still an electrifying, exciting player to see, but it's lost a little bit of luster, hasn't it? Especially given some of the ongoing investigation that's taking place with Hockey Canada right now.
Well, you know who I feel for, Bob? I feel for a lot of the staff at EOG, right? The Oilers, although this is obviously a Hockey Canada thing, the Oilers took this thing on and they were promoting it. They were selling tickets. The office staff that runs the Oilers has had this put on their plate. And, okay, we're going to do this once. We're going to have a World Junior. It's going to move on. Well, they got it put on their plate 2 years ago. They had the bubble, which was a mountain of work to put on that bubble. They were very successful. That tournament went off. They tried to put it on last year. The opposite occurred. And here they are back in the summer one more time. This is kind of like the guest you invite over that never leaves, Bob. I just hope for everyone's sake, let's get this tournament played. Let's have the kids have their experience. Let's let the tournament, a gold medal, get hung around a bunch of kids' necks. And maybe someone else can take on the World Junior, because this one, whether it's cursed or whatever it is, the experience at Edmonton over the last 2.5 years has been a lot of hard work for not a lot of joy. Is that fair to say?
100%.
Yeah.
Spec, thanks for your time, my man.
All right, Bobby, talk to you on Friday.
You bet. That is Mark Spector, Sportsnet Spec, again for the horses and horse racing Alberta, presenting the 93rd running of the Canadian Derby. It's Western Canada's biggest day in racing, and it takes place Saturday, August 20th at Century Mile, and tickets obviously are available now. All right, we're going to take a time out. We'll get to some of your texts, and we're going to come back with NHL Today for Elite Promotional Marketing. It's 124 in Edmonton, and you're listening to Oilers Now. Great song. On the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack, my son Hudson has pointed out to me over the years. Welcome back, everybody. 126 in Edmonton. Our friends at Brent Ridge Ford want you to know they're currently stocked up with pre-owned Jeeps, a Honda CR-V, Toyota RAV4, a Hyundai Santa Fe, options from Chevy, GMC, and Buick. And, of course, they boast a selection of quality used Ford products as well. At Brent Ridge Ford. They're your Ford truck authority on the Auto Mile in Wetaskiwin. You can reach out to Uncle Milt, Rich, Johnny, and the gang. 1-877-477-3673. And remember, cars cost less in Wetaskiwin. We go to NHL Today. It is presented daily by our friends at Elite Pro. promotional marketing. Drew Schammerhorn and his staff, your local branded merchandising specialist. Head to ElitePromoMarketing.com. Here's Brendan Escott.
Start in New York. The Rangers naming Jacob Trouba the 28th captain in franchise history. 28-year-old defenseman entering his fourth season with the team. Originally a Winnipeg Jet before the Rangers acquired him for Neil Pionk. The Blue Shirts have been without a captain since Ryan McDonough was traded to Tampa in 2017-18. Nicolas Waugh got a 5-year contract extension from Vegas worth $3 million per season. The rebooted World Juniors are already underway. That's the preliminary round. Yes, starting today at Rogers Place here in town. 3 games on the schedule. Slovakia was leading Czechia 2-1 at last look. Finland taking on Latvia, and the United States played Germany. Canada's first game tomorrow night against Latvia. The hosts beating Sweden 4-3 in a pre-tournament game last night. And Andrea Skinner has been appointed the interim chair of Hockey Canada's board of directors. Michael Brindamore resigning last week. Hockey Canada under the public and governmental microscope for its handling of sexual assault allegations against members of its past junior men's hockey teams.
All right, there we go. Wow, I got a couple of pretty interesting. Maybe they weren't meant for me. Maybe they were sent in during Shay's show. They had something to do with some investigation in Donald Trump. I mean, unless Donald Trump can win faceoffs as a left shot or right shot center, I guess we are still talking left wing and right wing here. I think we know which side that comes down on. Anyhow, I digress. It's 129 at Edmonton, off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. When we come back, the Edmonton Oil Kings today named Serge Lajoie as their assistant coach. He'd spent 3 years coaching the Alberta Golden Bears, won a national championship there. He would coach the Kamloops Blazers. He has been involved with elite programs the last couple of years. I'd say he's eminently overqualified to be an assistant coach in the Western Hockey League, and he joins us after a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
3 nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.